First Samuel chapter 30, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way.
Last time you learned that David made a mistake joining to the Philistines and saying, we are going to join with you and fight with you and we'll defeat the Israeli people. And that was a bad idea. And 600 people went there, and the king of Philistine was very happy and he wanted to keep them. But at the same time, his higher authorities, or what do you call those people who give him advice, they said, no, we don't want David. David will turn around and start killing us. Let him go home. That was God's blessing for David and his people. And when they came back from this Philistine king, it took them 3 days to come. And as soon as they came to Ziklag, as you know, the Ziklag was given by king to David. So when they came to Ziklag, what happens here? The Ziklag is completely burned down. I was thinking, this was one of the punishment for David. Breaking the God's law, going to the enemy's territory, joining with the enemy, and try to fight with the Israeli people. So this was the punishment. Let's see what happens. Verse 3.
So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives.
Now when the David comes, sees the land is completely burned down and not a single person is there. And if you remember what David used to do, he used to go and he would kill everyone. So now David comes and everybody's vanished. He might be thinking, I killed everybody and not a single person I kept. If they did the same thing, David's two wives, and all other 600 people, their wives and their children will be dead. So fear came to David. So once we go against will of God, right away you don't get punishment. David was there for 1 year and 4 months. And each day he is going and killing people, looting people, and destroying people. Not a single person could come and tell somebody that David was in our town. So that's the way David did. Now here he comes and all the people are gone. But God is so gracious. God did not allow this enemy to kill any person from that Ziklag. No wife, no children, nobody. So God had mercy on David. But David didn't know this. So David has to repent. It doesn't say here repenting, but he got a problem. When they saw these things, 600 people, they got mad. And they start telling other people, take the stone and kill the David. David's life was in danger. Nobody was helping him. So he has to trust in God. So he's calling upon God. And the word of God says he strengthened himself in the Lord. There was nobody to comfort him. All his people became enemy to David. So now hear what David does. Let's read verse 4.
Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep.
But now all the warriors are there crying like a baby. And they cried so much they didn't have enough strength to go forward. That's what happens. When you cry so much, you don't have strength. Some people's loved one, they die, maybe a husband, a wife, or children, and they cry so much. And some people die within a month or within a week, and some people die within the next day. Because if you're too old and you cry too much, you don't have strength. So this is what happened, and some people were so weak. They had no strength to even do anything. And so now David has to trust in God and ask God, what should I do? And when I heard this, I thought, David never asked God, shall I go to the enemy's territory? Shall I go to Philistine place and live there? He didn't ask. But now he knows that he made a mistake. Read verse 5.
And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David.
Now, this time, he humbled himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Maybe prayed, it doesn't say here. He might have cried to God, asked God forgiveness, and said, Lord, what should I do now? So he got the idea, let's go call the priest and talk to God and see what God says. And so now once you humble yourself, doesn't matter how many sin you committed, God forgives you all. He forgives and he forgets. So this is what happened. God had the mercy on David because David is the one leader. 600 people, their wives, their children and little ones, they are following David wherever he goes. Nobody was telling David that you are doing something wrong. But this time, they got mad with David. Why we have to go and fight with our own people, joining with the enemy and leaving our family here and nobody was watching them? At least David had 600 people. He would have kept 200 people watching the family and go 400, but didn't happen like that. So David made a mistake. Now David has to turn to God. And he asking God, what should I do? Let's read the verse 8.
And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all.
Now God gave him a comfort. He said, go ahead. Means God said, I'm going to watch over you. You're going to find those people. And you are going to deliver those people without any harm. Nobody will kill you. Nobody will destroy your family. So you go. So he got a signal from the Lord and see what happens. Verse 9.
So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men. For 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor.
Now see what happened. The 600 people, they are going. God told them to go, and I will give these people in your hand. Now while they're going, there's a brook coming. They have to canal or river or something, and they have to go other side. And some 200 people said, we cannot make it. Maybe they are older people or what. So they said, we cannot do it. So we are going to stay here. You people go and 400 people went there and see what happened. God gave them grace to get not only all their people safe, but they got all the loot. Because these enemies, they did not defeat Ziklag only. They went three other places and got the loot from there. And the Ziklag was the fourth place. You can imagine hundreds and thousands of dollars and animals and everything. They got it. And they were just camping there and having fun. Let's read the verse 11.
And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread. And he did eat and they made him drink water.
Now see what happened here. One Egyptian person, somehow he could not make it. So they left him to die. This man, young man, very sick, 3 days no water, no food, 3 days, three nights, and he is dying. So now in this time, when they found somebody, and when you are angry, you don't care who this person is coming in your way, you will kill that person. But David didn't do that. David's hearts were changed. So David took this man, give some nourishment, and asked him, hey, where are you from? And so that man says, well, I'm Egyptian, but I'm with these people, and my boss left me to die here because I'm sick. And so what happens? See, David and his people take care of this sick man. Let's read verse 12.
And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire.
Now see, he gave the whole history. What happened, how I came. I am Egyptian, but my boss is Amalekite. I got sick. They didn't care about me, but he says, I'm a young man. I was thinking he might be looked like an old man. Within 3 days, he didn't eat anything, and he's dying, so he looked very old. He said, I'm a young man, but this is what happened to me. And he told everything what happened, and I was reading. They gave him pig cakes and raisin, and this man, 3 days sick man, now he got so much energy. So I thought pig is good. Pig cakes is good for you. And raisins are good for you. Some people don't eat, but it's good for you. So this man got strength, and now David is asking him, would you come and tell us where these people are? Now this man knew the plan where they were going to go. So he knew there where they're going to go, where they're going to camp, and where they're going to rest. So this young man knew everything. So David started asking him. He said, listen, I can tell you, but only one thing you do, you pray to God, by the grace of God, please don't kill me and don't hand over me to my boss, because they're going to kill me. And so he promised him, and so he shows him everything. Let's read verse 15.
And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah.
David is not here. Philistine people are having war with the Israeli people. Now, nobody's coming to fight with us. Now, they had a fun. I don't know how many people were there, hundreds of people there, and they're having fun. And what they're doing? Drinking party. When you drink a lot of wine, your brain doesn't work. You cannot see properly. You cannot walk properly. You cannot talk properly. So now, this is what happened. So David had an easy time to kill these people. So now, they are going to have war. Only 400 people, they were riding on camels. And they ran away. I was thinking, 400 people who has the camels, and David had only 400 people. They had no problem to killing David and his people. But God put the fear in their heart. They ran for their life, 400 people. And the remaining people, David killed. Not a single person was left. So you can see, so many people were defeated, and all their loot, they got very easily. Please read verse 17.
And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled.
Can you imagine? They said they started a war from evening until next day evening. 600 people and 400 people say, We cried and cried and cried. We don't have any strength. We cannot go with you. And David and his other 400 people were doing the same thing. They didn't have any strength. But once they start fighting, God gave them supernatural strength. And they were fighting with these people for 24 hours without any rest, from evening to next day evening. And so they killed all of these people and got all their loot. Verse 18.
And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all.
David recovered all. God told him, Go and I'll give you everything in your hand. They will not harm you and you will recover everything. Once God promised you something, He keeps His promise. Can you imagine all these people, when they go to fight, they kill all the ladies or destroy them or do something harm to them, but God's protection was there. Not a single lady was abused, not a single child was killed, not a single person was destroyed. This is God's doing. God was angry at David, but God is showing to David, you know what? If you come to me, if you pray to me, I will protect you and I will give you everything. David married to that lady, what is her name? Abigail. Her husband was a very rich man. When he died without doing anything, so he got a lot of money from him, and he was looting all the villages, so he got lots of money. And now he got so much money and the animals and everything. See what David is doing and what other people are thinking. Verse 20.
And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil."
See what David is saying? This is David's spoil means this is all mine. Now he has 400 people with him. But he says, this is all God gave it to me. And now these people, 400 people were with him. And they got a loot and they thought, what we going to do? We got a lot of loot and the 200 people sitting there, they didn't come. We are not going to give them a penny. And this is what the enemy puts in your mind. That one boy was dying 3 days, did not eat anything, gave a little bit food and water and some thick cakes, and he got a strength. Now he's 200 people sitting there, they don't have any food, they are tired and weary, and these people are thinking, we are not going to give anything. But David got an idea. Let's read the words 21.
And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them.
Can you imagine? David is the captain of all these people. These 200 people sitting there, David comes and salutes them. Other people got angry. What David is doing? Those people didn't do anything. Those people didn't come with us. And why David is giving so much respect to those people and thanking them and saluting them, other people got some jealousy. They thought David is out of his mind. And thank God nobody died. Everybody's alive. So now they will have some benefits also, David was thinking in his mind. Verse 22.
Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart."
Now he says, "A wicked people." Now there are so many wicked people and bad people joined with David. David didn't have the army, so he took it. But now these wicked people start showing their own color. But the David was much smarter and much stronger than them. They had to be afraid of David. So they are saying, you know what we can do? Tell these people, take your wife and children and get out of here. We don't need you in our army anymore. They are making their own decision. They don't know there is a boss, David. So see what David says. Verse 23.
Then said David, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand."
Now David is telling them, he called them brethren. They are bad people. But he says, "You are my brothers. See what God has done. We went there in enemy's territory. Those people were more than us. They would have killed us. They would have killed our wives and children. But we are all safe. So we should be thankful to God. If we are not alive, what is the treasure? What is the money? Nothing. People gather all the money and they die and they don't have any children or no family. The money goes to the government. So here's saying, why are you so mad? We are not killed. We are safe. We are happy and joyful. Why you are so jealous? So he's making a new law. He's saying, now I'm going to make a new law. When we go for the war and some of the people stay with the family or goods, when we come back, whatever we got the loot, we can equally give them too. And he made a new law. Okay, verse 24.
For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jatir, and to them which were in Aroer, and to them which were in Sifmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoa, and to them which were in Rakhal, and to them which were in the cities of the Jeramelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Chorashan, and to them which were in Athak, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt.
Now see what David did. These people didn't want these 200 people to get loot and the benefit. But David told them, you have to give it to those people, and whatever you got, you keep, we give it. But the David had a lot of loot because he didn't have any children. He didn't have only wife, and the wife was not poor. She got a lot of money. So David decided, we are going to give this money to all Israeli people. So we already read all the towns. He gave each and every town a gift. Now what David was thinking, David was trying to get those people's heart to himself. When you give somebody a gift, they are going to thank you. So he gave the gift to each and every town. Not only that, he was going from one town to another town, and those people helped. So everybody he gave some gifts. He sent gifts to everyone and prepared their heart, because he knew there's a war going on. He would have said, well, the king and his people told us to go home. They would have gone to Israel, join with Saul and defeat all these people. But they didn't do that. They just stayed in Ziklag. But when God gave them all the loot, they gave it to everybody in Israel. And I think he was making friendship. He knew, today or tomorrow I'm going to be king. And so those people should know, I'm a generous king, I'm a generous man. And that's what he did. And the chapter finishes there. We are going to go and read from 1 Samuel chapter 31.
Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons.
Enemy killed Jonathan and his two brothers, means three sons of Saul were killed, and Saul also got killed. And so it's a sad story, even though he was going after David. And David said one day, I'm not going to touch anointed man of God. Someday he will die in the fighting, or somebody will kill him, but I'm not going to kill. And exactly what David said, it happened. And Saul died. And I was thinking, why this happened to Saul? He's a good warrior, and he was fighting almost 20 years. He was a good warrior. But the problem happened here. If you remember last week, we learned he went to the witch, asking her, what's going to happen to me? So when you leave the God and go to the enemy, who is the devil, that's the greatest sin. When you worship heathen God, those are the enemy of God. And you became enemy to God when you worship the heathen god. When he went and took the counsel of that lady, that's what happened. Not only he was killed, they did so much cruel thing to Saul and his family. They killed them, they chopped their necks, they took their armors and clothes, and they nailed them to the wall. That is so heartbreaking things. They did a very bad thing. Okay, let's read verse 3.
Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it.
Now Saul went to witch. That time he didn't feel anything bad. Now he's saying uncircumcised people will come and abuse me. So he got wounded. So he said, I don't want somebody coming and killing me, means chopping my head or doing so much more damage to me, and I cannot bear this. So he's saying, armor bearer, you kill me. Armor bearer said, I'm not going to kill. So Saul falls on his own sword and he dies. And armor bearer, I feel sorry about him. He didn't run away. If he runs away, somebody is going to say, you killed him. So he killed himself. And so it's a sad thing. Both of them died. Saul's son died. Jonathan died. And all the people died in the same day. And you remember that witch disguised that Samuel and start saying, you will be with me. So now you can see, when Saul dies, means he kills himself and he go to witches, do you think he's going to go to where the Samuel is? No. So that Samuel was disguised by demon's agent. He was lying. So here, Saul dies, his children dies, and now see what happened. Those people do so cruel things. Let's read verse 5.
And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people.
See, exactly they did. Cut the head of this Goliath. Same thing they did. And they put this in their, what you call, the temple. And they were celebrating and having good party. And all these Israeli people, some of his army, they saw this battle. Saul is killed. So they ran away for their life. Nobody came to rescue Saul. And then the people from a small town, they are coming to help. Please read a little bit further. Verse 10.
And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there.
These people from Jabesh, they're a small place. They got some compassion and they went and took the Saul's body from those wall and everything, and they took it to the town and they burned it, and then took the bones and got the bones to the under the tree where the Saul used to sit under the tree, I think. Took the bones and buried it. Verse 13.
And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days.
And then the chapter finishes. Now these people, group of people, Israeli people, they took the courage, they went there, they took the bodies, they burned the bodies, took the bones and buried the bone. And they fasted for 7 days for Saul. And David doesn't know anything. And next time, God willing, when you go to the 2 Samuel chapter 1, then the David comes to know. After the people die, you can cry for 7 days, fast 7 days, doesn't mean anything. When they're alive, you minister to them. You take care of them. Not after they die. After they're dead, there is no reason to doing it. But Saul did not get a chance to ask God forgiveness. He would have come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I made a mistake going to this witch, and I made a mistake going after David. Could you please forgive me? God saved David and his family. And we did something wrong, come to God and ask forgiveness. Once we ask forgiveness, God forgives us and God gives us victory. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. Every day people are dying, but we are still alive. We are so grateful to you. Our life is so fragile. Without your grace, we cannot be alive. But thank you for keeping us. Thank you for protecting us. And thank you for supplying our needs. Keep us healthy. Keep us strong. Give us grace to live for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.